Dave Moore on Today FM.
This is the Dave Moore podcast. Unsurprisingly, I'm Dave Moore. But also, Maria Devereaux is here.
Yes.
Emer Shannon's here.
I am.
Colin Minogue is here.
Me too.
Okay, that's a pretty good roll call. I'm impressed.
On show is right.
I don't remember roll calls happening in secondary school. I presume they did at some point because they had to know who was in.
Well, they did. It was always kind of... was a at the start or the end of little break that they would take a... that they wouldn't do roll call at the start of the day.
Well, you had
a
secondary school.
Of classes in secondary school.
Oh, they did at the start of the day in my school.
I do that. Every class, yeah. Every class I was in.
I remember Sean O'Sullivan, one of my friends in school who is no longer with us, unfortunately. God rest him, as they say. But Sean was literally the funniest person I can remember in school. And at one point, so there was a guy called Nisha in our class who was an unbelievable flute player, which obviously for a 14-year-old is quite rare, but he was brilliant, right? So he'd have his flute with him all the time and he'd go to like orchestra practice. Stop it. He'd go to orchestra practice or whatever after school when we'd all go play rugby or soccer or whatever.
He took out his flute.
So no, Sean took his flute, right?
Right.
And it was winter time, and like there was no, it was Belvedere, which is designed, it was, I think Belvedere was built in the 1850s or something. There was no like cloakroom or anything. You just threw all the coats down in one corner of the room. So Sean lay under the coats with Nisha's flute, right? And was covered in 35 coats or whatever. And the teacher was doing a roll call and he was like, you know, whatever, Brendan O'Reilly, Carl O'Sullivan, whatever. And then you just hear, and he'd be like, and there was no, this is like the 80s, no mobile phones are. And he's like, what's that noise? I don't know, sir. Okay. Dara O'Reilly and Edmund, what's that noise? And it went on for 15 minutes until obviously eventually he copped on. There was someone with a flute underneath 30 coats and he sent it to the headmaster's office.
I got full attendance in first year.
Wow.
I got a Parker pen and a certificate. I think
nice.
That's, yeah, wow. I remember that. Yeah, I didn't miss one.
I think
one.
I got it in sixth year actually.
Full attendance.
Yeah.
I don't think they motivate children with that stuff anymore because my kids are always laughing outside of school time, so obviously summertime, with the amount of times through the year they fooled us that they were sick. You're like, you little...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But like a Parker pen, like...
Yeah, what do you what know? A 12-year-old wants a Parker pen, like...
Any, like a voucher for lifestyle.
No, now it would just be like Fortnite books. V-books.
Yeah, V-books.
That would work.
Yeah.
That
would
work.
I meant books in the traditional sense. I was like, oh, they do books by Fortnite.
No.
Fortnite V-books. Yeah, which I know, yeah.
I just feel sorry for teachers... because I remember having a geography teacher one time. Now, he didn't like me very much, but thinking back, I do feel like his job was very stressful.
Right.
Because nobody paid attention to him. So you go into his class and everybody just turns around and talks.
Ah, stop.
And he got to the point where he would just, he gave up and just start talking to nobody. And he would teach the class even though nobody
what?
Was listening.
How could you be so rude?
And then... well, he sat me up the front, so I
no, I mean you. I mean you collectively. Like,
he didn't like me. Imagine now this whole class, right, of nobody paying attention. He used to sit me up the front and I had to, if I turned or anything, he'd give it to me. So I had to pay attention.
What'd you get in geography?
No one else did. Did I get a B?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, awesome. Well.
But like, he would hit his limit.
Mm.
Every so often, where he just would get there. Remember how thick the geography book was?
Yeah.
With all the stalagmites and stalactites in it. And he would turn and he would slam it off the blackboard.
Wow.
Jeez.
And everyone would go, and they'd pay attention for like 5 minutes
and
while he gave out.
Talking.
And then they go back to talking.
I don't know how teachers do it, honestly.
No, and I
that's
for me because I always think when I hear like stories about like the flute and that, I'm like, God, working in a boys' school must be hell. I think working in an all-girls school was actually probably worse.
Yeah.
Like we were just really mean.
Yeah. Mean girls.
Yeah, just mean. Like not very nice to be around.
And whatever
general,
about like
mean.
The small kids in national school, when you get into secondary school and you've got like, I can barely talk to my own 14-year-old. Like imagine a class of 14-year-olds. It's just terrifying. Like I don't know how they do it.
You have to find common ground, I think, with them and then, you know, they think you're cool.
I tell you what, I have done this thing over the summer where I have used slang that the kids use to my kids.
Oh no.
They are so it's a superpower.
They
they're
like
so
it.
They hate it so much. Yeah. I've never seen them hate anything as much. So I'm like, I'd be like sitting there going, oh, what the sigma? And they're like, what? I'm like, yo, skibbity toilet, who's musing?
I'm like, yeah.
What? I'm like, this is bussing. This is absolutely bussing. They're like, stop it! Oh my God! Stop! But I've never seen them get exercise about anything except me using all this unbelievable skibbity toilet
slang. Could you
imagine
when you were their age, if your parents started using terms that you use, you'd want to die.
Yeah. So bad.
My husband does that as well and he gets the same reaction.
It's so good.
They laugh at him.
Right.
And then they just don't pay any attention. They leave the room.
Yeah, it is a good way of getting them out
of
your
hair. That was successful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't at all.
I think it was.
They think you're an idiot.
Let's do a proper roll call. Is there any members of the boy band Five here? Yes, someone say yes. Call.
Yes.
Yes, Scott from boy band Five. Yes, I talked to Scott Robinson from Five. And he had the most incredible story to tell about Liam Gallagher playing Bop It. Sometimes when I'm doing these interviews and I do some research and find out things about the people that are coming on, you hear stories and you go, is that real or is that the internet? But did you play Bop It in Brazil with Liam Gallagher in a hotel room?
Yes. Yes.
Details, please.
It was, do you know what? He's got, not so much now, but back in the day, he had such a bad rep, you know, that he was, you know, not a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a lovely, lovely guy, very misunderstood. And so we were in Brazil. My wife, Kerry, who was my girlfriend at the time, was there as well. And we were chilling, having a good laugh and a good drink. And then so we bumped into Liam. And I remember Noel not being as, well, he wasn't particularly nice to us in terms of, he felt well, they're boy banders, we're rock stars,
yeah.
We can't hang out with them.
Right, right.
And Liam was like, no, they're just blokes having a beer. I'm going to have a beer with them.
Mm.
And we got really well. We was on a rooftop. We were having a laugh. And then Liam wanted to show us the new album. So we were like one of the first ever people to hear. Yeah, to hear. And what was hilarious, I know I can't swear because we're on radio, so I'll change the words.
Right.
Every time that he was playing one that he had written, it was legendary. Oh, this one's absolutely legendary. And every time that he was playing one that Noel wrote, he was saying, this one's rubbish. He wasn't saying rubbish.
Yeah, wasn't saying rubbish, right.
And then it was this random moment where he pulls out of his suitcase, Bop It, and he says, oh, have you played this game? Like, it's epic. Should we play it? And we was like, wow, that's random. Liam Gallagher's. He put Bop It on tour. Like, what is he doing? Like, this is crazy.
Just in case anybody doesn't remember or is too old maybe to know what Bop It is, can you even give a brief description of what the game
actually
is?
It's a kid's toy.
Yeah.
And it's got like a beat and it goes like, so it'll go Bop It, twist it, pull it, shake it, Bop It, twist it, and you've got to do the
thing. Do whatever it says.
You've got to do the commands. And then if you do the wrong one, it says, ah, you're out of here, blah, blah, blah. So we're round in a circle, and this is me, my wife Kerry,
yeah,
Liam Gallagher, Sean Five, and Richie from Five, and we are playing Bop It, and he's losing, and he's getting really frustrated. He's going, no, I'm really good at this, but I had a Bop It, but I just never used to bring it on
tour.
Right,
right.
So I was like really good at it, and he was getting more and more frustrated. It was a brilliant night, and it's one of my favourite pub stories because people say to me, tell the Liam Gallagher story.
Yeah, an unbelievable story. That's just made my day. I love it. Thank you so much, Scott. Like, of all the things I thought Liam Gallagher would do in a hotel room, playing Bop It was not on my bingo card.
I love Bop It.
It's addictive.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. I used to love it.
So Bop frustrating.
It, spin it, twist it, flick it, yeah.
But pull it. But Liam, though, like... I just didn't think he'd even have the time. He would just be doing rock star things all the time.
Yeah, but rock star reaction to not getting it, not going the way he wanted.
Yeah, fair.
You know, so he's still keeping, he's on brand.
He did. I do love chatting to celebrities and I love asking them weird questions. And one of the ones I ask them all, as you probably know, is I ask people, do they wash their legs in the shower? Now, when I get someone on for a second time, because there's only so many celebrities in the world, like Richard Hammond, for example, I like to introduce myself and remind them that I'm the guy who asks that question about that. Hi, it's Dave, the I don't wash my legs guy.
Hi, Dave. Oh, yes. How are you?
Yes. You vaguely remember this terrifying conversation we had around the Grand Tour where I explained that I don't wash my legs and you were A, slightly confused, and B, I think mostly appalled by me.
I got bewildered is what I was.
Well, it's good to chat to you again. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Trundling on, although slowly ruining myself with my business.
But well, listen, aren't we all? Yeah. Have you at any point in the interim between when we last spoke and now thought of me in the shower?
I've tried to keep that tempting thought from my mind. They call them intrusive thoughts, don't they? And that's a bad
that's
one
right,
with which
yeah.
to be blighted. That's a terrible thing. I'm trying to scorch it out of my mind.
Well, listen, I'm glad you've done a good job. Unfortunately, I've thrown it back at you now, so maybe it'll creep in again someday. So there you are. Richard will now, if he hasn't before, will think of me yeah. when he's scrubbing his hairy little legs in the shower.
He's a bit weirded out, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but it makes me happy yeah. though. I'd rather be memorable and have someone think I'm weird than just be another bland interview.
Yeah, but I think you Fair. Weirded him out the first time you spoke to him when you asked him the initial
yes.
question, and then this time you weirded him out even more. To the extent that I think actually now we will never have him on the show again.
I was just going to say, I don't think there'll be a third.
Hi, will Richard Hammond speak to us about... No.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, Richard's thought about it and he's decided, no, I won't talk to that guy again. Quite enough of him.
He's very softly spoken.
He is, Richard. Mm. He's, yeah,
isn't he?
Yes, just calm it down. And then, yes, I'm losing the will to live here.
Yeah.
I will still finish this interview and then I will go outside and have a cup of tea. Come here. We also went on holidays. Sometimes that happens, whatever time of the year it is. And I was attacked, viciously attacked by Spanish wildlife. Look, just have a listen. Ah, it's good to be back after your holidays. It is good to be back. It's good to be back on the radio, chatting to you guys, having the crack. And I told you I was doing a house swap. Maria, do you remember this before I was going on a swap with my brother-in-law?
Yeah, in Spain.
Let me just tell you that... On paper, the house swap's a great idea. It is a great idea.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the amount of work required to get your house ready for someone else to be in yeah. your house. Because you know, like when you're going on holidays, you kind of go, okay, I don't want to leave it a complete kip to come back to. So,
yeah.
But I'll still, we can just let the washing pile up or we
well,
can just
funny,
do whatever.
Paula McSweeney
yeah.
talked about that when she was filling in for you. About cleaning the house before
you go. Yeah.
Yeah, before you go.
Because it's lovely to walk back into a clean house, but at the same time, it's not like there are guests coming clean.
No, it's definitely like washing shoved over in the corner.
Yeah.
And yeah.
This wasn't that. This was and there were points over the weekend before we left kind of going, is this really worth it? Then we got there and it really was worth it. It was amazing. Yeah, so we swapped my brother-in-law in Spain in his house. But there was an event which actually Jeannie has already mentioned. She says, missed you, Dave. Thanks, Jeannie. The spider on your holidays. Oh my God. And I apologize in advance to Maria and anybody else. But when I did put this up on my Instagram, I did put a trigger warning on it, which a lot of people were very grateful for because some people like Maria are freaked yeah. out by spiders.
Well, you did text me a trigger warning.
I said,
well.
Don't
you said,
watch my Instagram. Yeah. I said to Maria.
Yeah.
So basically, here's what happened, right? We're asleep in the house. And my two boys are sleeping in. Now, when I say the basement, you might think like the cellar in a creepy... No, this is like fancy schmancy. It's got like a gym in it, a bedroom, an ensuite bedroom, like a big telly and all the toys and everything are dead.
Yeah.
So the lads couldn't have got it. They couldn't have been happier.
Yeah.
We couldn't even know they were up watching Netflix at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, so they were down there. And one of the nights at 1:45, the two lads came bursting in the door and we're like, whoa, you know that way you wake up, freaked out, what? Dad, there's a spider in our bathroom, it's so big. And I was like, come on, like, can you not just close the door? Couldn't possibly sleep down there, Dad, it's so big, it's so big. I think it's a tarantula. I was like, it's not a tarantula. Okay, so walk downstairs, look in the bathroom. It absolutely is a tarantula. Right?
No, okay, so hang on. But is that you saying, yeah, because it was huge?
No.
Because that's how we measure it here, because
yeah.
we don't have any tarantulas. We go, it was a tarantula.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that means it's a massive spider.
Okay, fair enough. This thing is apparently a, to give it its correct term, a tarantula wolf spider, okay?
Oh, gross.
So it's not the big, huge, hairy thing that you see, you know, if someone has it as a pet and it's from Brazil or something
okay.
like that, you know, a Brazilian wandering tarantula or whatever. However, it is exactly the same shape, but it's probably, I don't know, it's probably the size of a computer mouse. Like, it's not small,
ugh.
Right? So anyway, I see this thing and I'm like, okay, first thing I do is like Google, is it dangerous? No, it isn't. It's utterly harmless, right? But it's still massive and I get why
you
the lads are freaked out.
You wouldn't
want to
wake up with that crawling across your forehead.
No. So I look around and I have to capture this thing and release it because the lads won't go to sleep. They'll just climb into our bed, and I'm not having them sleeping. You know what I mean? So, whatever I'm going to do. So, trying to figure it out. So, then I looked around the room, and the lads are obsessed with golf, and they just bought a bucket of used golf balls in a golf shop in Spain. So I said, empty those golf balls into your suitcase and give me that bucket. So it's like, you know the buckets you get candy floss in the newsagents?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
size
yeah.
of a see-through bucket.
Yeah.
So I decided then that I would go and drop the bucket, upturned bucket with no lid on it, on top of the tarantula wolf spider. This is my first attempt. I do swear, but I swear in German. For some reason, I have no idea why. But this
the fear.
Yeah. Yes, you can hear the lads are enjoying the excitement. But
so you in that attempt, you threw
it. I dropped
hoping.
It from a height, hoping that it would just land perfectly around the tarantula wolf spider.
See, for me, that would freak me out that you did that.
Yeah.
Because there is a chance that he's going to run and you're going to lose him.
Oh, no.
And then I'm so angry, yeah. I can't speak.
Right? He ran.
So
he ran big time.
Yeah. Couldn't cope with that.
So then what I needed, he ran to a corner. Because, look, obviously he's afraid of me. He's afraid of this big, giant thing trying to capture him, right? So I like spiders, right? So I'm trying to be nice to the fella. And then what I did was, I got a golf club, because again, the lads are obsessed there, have the golf clubs out there. And I used, it was a driver, so I held the big fat bit of the driver and I used the bottom of the handle to just gently tap behind the spider to get him to walk out of the corner he was in onto a flat part of the ground so that then I would be braver this time and actually place the bucket on top of him. So I scooched it across the floor. This is what happened after the golf club was used.
So you scraped it across it again.
Slowly, just because I didn't want him to move.
Yeah, but he could have.
Yeah, he could have.
Sensing the vibration of something coming towards him.
All of that.
I can't cope with your tactics. They just will not work.
Then I said, okay, now we have him trapped underneath the plastic bucket.
Okay.
That was the success there on the high five and the lads delighted with life. Then I was like, okay, well, what do we do now? Like, you know,
I'd have left it.
No. They wouldn't have
like in
sleep.
Australia, I had a cockroach in the bathroom. Yeah. Lived under a glass until the day I was leaving and I took it out and then
ran.
It.
Yeah. No. I got a book. Now, people pointed out on my Instagram when they saw the video that like, oh, good choice of book. It was Monsters, Inc. It was a kid's book. But I didn't realise that. But it was, I slid the kind of cover. I kept all the pages off to one side and slid the cover of it in underneath the spider, grabbed the top and then went outside in the 1:15 a.m. so about half an hour, 1:15 in the morning in Spain. And trust me, my brother-in-law lives on the Costa del Sol, but he lives in a farm. Like, it's 15 minutes from any kind of civilization where he lives. So there's
so dark.
There are lots of things. It's pitch black, whatever. Anyway, this is the moment where I shouted good luck to Terry the tarantula, we christened him. And I just dropped the bucket over the wall, over the fence at the back, and we all just legged it.
You ready?
Yeah.
We were just running so fast. And the video to all this, by the way, is up on my Instagram now. It does have trigger warnings at the start, so don't worry. You won't just automatically go to my Instagram and see a spider. But if you want to see it there, there's two black videos with the word trigger warning on them on my reels. One of them is, part one is the bit where we're trying to capture it, and part two is the release. So if you're interested, at Dave Today FM is where you can go and see that. But it was adrenaline rushing is not the word. And they are utterly harmless, these things, obviously. But they still look exactly like tarantulas and they're massive. So
gross.
It was a very, very interesting night. Trying to get to sleep after that, not easy. So I am here to tell the tale, thankfully.
Lived. Barely.
But
lived.
Frankly, Terry the tarantula. Yeah. Like, who the... Look, I'm all for spiders and I'm all for tarantulas, but usually a tarantula is brought in to the studio in a terrarium. Yeah. Someone goes, do you want to put this on your hand? And I'll go, absolutely, yes, I do.
So then I don't understand. Why couldn't you put that spider on your hand and walk out with it?
Because it's in a wild environment. It's not somebody's, like, tarantula who's familiar with going on people's hands.
Yeah. He's no information about the tarantula.
No.
Make you he didn't bring his CV with him into the house.
No, I mean, like,
announced his arrival.
If someone has a pet, you know, Rose tarantula, they'll go, this is my pet Rose tarantula. Her name, like Mimi Webb. That's when I interviewed her. My friend has a tarantula called Mimi Webb. So, like, I could say, this is Mimi. She's used to people.
Yeah.
Not like there's a giant tarantula in your
bum. But you're always telling me they can't do anything. So you like he can't. He's not going to. He's not going to do anything to you.
No.
So well, then, what's the problem with picking it up?
No, I'm not still not
Mr.
picking up.
I love spiders.
No,
so
I'm still
much.
Not picking up. I don't go and pick up creepy crawlies. I just don't mind them in my house or in my. But I just had to get them out of the bathroom because the lads wouldn't go to sleep. And fairness, Terry was massive.
I did like Terry. Good luck.
Good luck.
Your well wishes as you set him free.
That's it. I didn't want to do it in bad time.
And people really respected that.
Yeah.
The fair. Comments on your Instagram.
Yes, there were a lot of people who said, look, I'm glad you. And other people were saying, like, I would have killed
burn
him stone
it with
dead.
Fire.
Yeah, no. I can't do that.
It, yeah.
I can't do that.
Great content, too, for you on your Instagram.
Oh, listen. It's all about everything is content, Paul. Everything's content. I wasn't the only one who went away. Maria went and fulfilled one of her dreams as she visited Buckingham Palace. Right, Maria, I was in Spain for a couple of weeks. You, however, you followed a dream and you went to where?
London.
Why?
To go and see Buckingham Palace. Not the outside like everybody does, but the inside.
You went on the Buckingham Palace tour.
Yeah. Johnny got me this for my birthday, which was January.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time to wait.
8 months.
But I've been so excited. So we got there. Our hotel actually was picked by you.
Well, I would
couldn't
say
decide on a hotel. So.
I picked it. I suggested. I didn't pay for it now, in case anyone thinks I'm sound. I just said.
Oh, he's not sound.
Maria was like, "Here, I need a hotel." And I was like, "That one looks good." Okay.
Yeah. So we went to that, and it actually happened to be the hotel beside the hotel that I stayed in for the Coldplay gig that I went to for work
right.
in the Natural History Museum.
So was the one for the Coldplay gig really nice, and mine was average.
Yeah, kind of like.
Be honest,
Maria,
be honest.
It didn't have a restaurant or a bar or anything. It was
why
just
would you
of,
need those?
It was rooms and a bowl of cereal. But it was nice and stylish.
Okay.
And it was a good location. So we were happy with that. We went to the Natural History Museum.
Ooh.
We were sitting outside trying to figure out, do you need tickets to get in or can you just walk in or whatever? And this teenager walked over to us. He had a Burger King in one hand and his phone in the other. And he went, can I have internet? We were like, no. Who sent you? Did our kids send you? Because we were way better.
Looking to use your hotspot.
He was like, can I have internet? We were like, no, dude. Like, sorry.
And was he like, London, can I have internet?
Yeah.
And he just went, no.
Yeah. And he kind of looked at us like we're 10 heads, like our own kids do when they ask us, can I have internet?
But Maria, yeah, okay. You went to the museum. You went to what about the Buckingham Palace?
Like, so it's in three parts, right?
Yeah.
So you go, first of all, you go and you see the gallery, which is the collection of photographs of the royal family over the last 100 years.
Oh my god, right? I love that. It was like a full kind of 5-7 seasons of The Crown in photographic form.
Yeah. Now you kind of go, oh, there was no pictures of this person or no pictures of that person, or whatever.
Right.
It's kind of, it's very artistic. It's all about like this photographer and the way that they, you know, wanted to portray the royal family and stuff like that. So there's different rooms for all of that. So that was interesting. You walk in, there's a headset that you can get to listen, but every picture has a little explainer beside it. So I just said, no, we won't get the headset. We'll just read and go around at our own pace. So that was fine. Came out of there, spent a fortune in the gift shop.
Excellent.
There. Then went to the Royal Mews, which is where they keep all the carriages and the horses.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw one horse, Friar Girl or something was her name.
Do you know whose horse it is?
No.
Okay.
Don't. And then, because I didn't get the headset for this one either, right? Because at every like door open to look at all the different carriages and stuff, it has the history of the carriage.
Amazing.
So I was like, we don't need the headset. Yeah. We'll just read. And there was one Irish steak carriage, which was like unbelievable. And it was made by a couple of lads in Dublin for when Queen Victoria and her husband Albert visited.
Wow.
And they went, here, look at this carriage we made. And they were like, oh my god, it's amazing, can
they
we have it
home?
And they were like, yeah.
It's not like you've taken anything else before, Mrs.
Stop it now. So that was amazing, right? So we didn't get the headset for that. Then came the going into Buckingham Palace.
Outrageous.
And I was like, oh, I'm buzzing. My feet were killing me. But I am buzzing. So we waited, we went in. I was saying to Johnny, sure, we won't get the headset for that. We didn't get the headset for the other two, we won't get the headset for this. And then I just regretted it the whole way around because it doesn't have all the writing to tell you what everything
is. Every room is, what everything
is. Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
But anyway, we went in and it was amazing. We saw like the throne room, you know, where they have the two seats.
Two seats.
And Charlie's new King Charles's new like logo, because obviously Elizabeth had a different one. Mm-hmm. We saw inside, you know, when they're out on the balcony and they're waving at everybody.
Yeah,
we saw what the it looks like inside when they walk back inside and sit down, take off the shoes.
Amazing.
We saw that. We saw all the paintings from over the years. Everything is kind of from Queen Victoria era because that's when it was built. Okay. So, and then we went and we had lunch in the garden out the back, and like the cakes had the logos on it, the sandwiches had the logos on it. It was just, oh, I just loved every second of it. And the weather made it unreal as well.
Was Johnny,
sorry, you weren't allowed to take pictures, right? I was dying to take pictures, send them to my mother. Weren't allowed to take pictures all the way around. But as I was walking out to the garden, out the back, I made it look like I was taking a picture of the garden, and I put it on selfie mode and took a picture behind me.
Legend. Although now the MI6 are going to chase it down and get you. Johnny, obviously, he got you this because he knows you love it, right?
Yeah.
Can you draw on it? Like, was Johnny just constantly nodding along going, oh my God, I don't care about the second cousin of Prince James the Fourth, who had a car here in 1865? I just don't. Or was he like genuinely interested?
I think there was a little bit of that. In I'm going to humour her.
It'd be like if he brought you to the Liverpool Anfield museum tour, you'd be like, sure, Johnny.
And that's your man. That you remember, like I was telling you before when you weren't listening about this thing. Exactly. There was a lot of that, but he did say it was very interesting. He enjoyed it.
Of course he did. He says all the right things, Al. Johnny. Yeah. Fair play to you, Maria. So, oh my God, Maria. Yeah. Like, this is box ticking of the highest order.
Oh, like this is bucket list.
Yeah. Well like, done.
Yeah, I absolutely loved every second of it, and I would do it again. Same as Coronation Street. When I went to the set of Coronation Street, it's up there with that.
Do they do a housewives tour of any description?
No, not that I know of.
Wouldn't you love that?
Like a million trillion times,
I suppose it is their house that they're just like living in all the time.
But this is the palace where the monarch works, I really didn't know you could do the tour.
I didn't know that was something to do.
So they only open it for like 8 weeks of the year. And usually, I know from the Queen, she used to go to Sandringham or Balmoral at that time of year and spend all her time, like have a little summer break for herself. Mm. So that they can cordon off everywhere. Right. Like there's still velvet ropes everywhere. You're not allowed to go down that way. Mm. You're not allowed that way. There's plastic covering, you know, like canvases that you're not allowed to touch. Doors are like nailed open and covered with plastic so that you can't touch them.
Gotcha.
So there's all that kind of, you know, protective from the public.
It is a real palace.
But this is where the monarch sits and works and lives, and, you know, they have their living quarters.
It's an office and a home.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to know, actually, which I never got to in the show because we run out of time sometimes. Did you see any King Charles money when you were in London?
No, none. None. And actually, still, Queen Elizabeth's logo is still on the bollards outside the palace.
Okay.
So there's still that Eeyore. It's Elizabeth Regina.
Regina, yeah.
And she has the little shoe between E and R.
Things you have to like.
It costs like millions upon millions.
I'd say so.
When a new monarch sits in. So like Charlie would want to make sure now that he's there a while before they have to do will.
I was going to say. Like, even with the money, right? If you think about it, like, so she was around for like a bajillion years.
Yeah.
Mm. And he'll, like, at most, right? He's what, 70 odd? Like
10, 15, maybe whatever, 20
years.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 30 at a push. Which means that at some point, there'll probably be money doing the rounds that'll be Queen Elizabeth, King Charles, and then William.
William. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not it William, as Maria keeps telling us. Mm-hmm. Some other person.
Oh, this rumor I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, well.
And wasn't it a Baba Vanga thing? That the real heir will come forward before William gets to ascend to the throne.
Maria's Baba Vanga theory.
You're not, when you're walking around the palace, you're not seeing like the king walk around in his jocks right and just going down for breakfast.
That's a very different tour, Colin.
That's what I thought we were saying.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Dave Moore on Today FM.